Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode of Living Light Outdoors. On the mic with you, it's Friday. We are rolling downhill to the weekend. We're almost there. I'm already there, actually. I've been there all weekend, all week. Man, I got a message for you today that actually got sparked while I was watching some TBN today. I've got piles of notes here, and I've written so much over the, especially this week, is really, guys just been pouring into me. This is a challenging time. I mean, I think a lot of us are facing challenging times. You know, we're struggling sometimes. I'm struggling physically. We're struggling financially. We're struggling with all kinds of things as we deal with the recovery of my back surgery and still fighting through some of that. I have some appointments next week that hopefully will give us some more answers. And, you know, just, I mean, we're just getting through it. That's all we can do. You put your head down, you battle ahead. I haven't been feeling very well this week. There's just been a lot of things piling on emotionally, anxiety. I mean, all of the things that we all, I think, battle from time to time in different places, I've just kind of seemed to hit a mire or a muck. You know, I've run amok. Remember that message I just preached recently? I want to share a message for you today, though, that, again, it sparked as I was watching a message on TBN. But I titled this Passion for You. How do we get a passion for Jesus? You know, especially when it seems like we're in the midst of fighting and battling constantly right now. Now, this question fits right in with God's greatest commandment. And we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 through 9. It's repeated in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. But in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, 9, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and with all your soul and with all your strength." It's your entire being. "These words which I am commanding you today shall be written on your heart and mind. You shall teach them diligently to your children, impressing God's precepts on their minds and penetrating their hearts with his truth. And shall speak of them when you sit in your house and when you walk on the road and when you lie down and when you get up." Verse 8 says, "And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand," your forearm, "and they shall be used as bands, frontals, frontlets on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." This is really a powerful piece of scripture. How do we get a passion for Jesus? By loving the Lord our God with everything we have, with our entire being. Taking these words that are commanded and writing them in our heart. Teaching them to our children. Teaching them, talking about them on a constant basis. Not just on Sunday school. Don't just let the Sunday school teachers handle this. Around your dinner table, around your sofas in the evenings. Maybe do a Bible study with your family. There's a novel idea. Set these things up in your house. Write them on the doorposts of your home and on your gates. We're commanded to love our God with all of our being. Now, here's a few things I want to give you that's maybe some guidance on how to bring about this from Scripture. First, number one, it goes without saying that we cannot love someone we don't know. You got to get to know God and what he has done for you. Look back in the history of time and look at what God has done for you. Before he commanded to love God is given in Deuteronomy 6:5, the statement is made, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." That's the very beginnings of Deuteronomy chapter 6. In that beginning with verse 5 where we started about loving God, it starts ahead of that with, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." One aspect of this statement is that he is unique. And the better we get to know what he's like, the easier it will be for us to love him with our whole being. This also involves getting to know what he's done for us. Again, before the first command is given in Exodus 20, verse 3, God states that he had done for Israel in bringing them out of slavery in Egypt. Likewise, it repeats in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2, the command to offer our lives as living sacrifices, and it's prefaced with the word therefore. Remember what that word means? Because of this, a word that's meant to remind us of all the mercies of God toward us recorded in the previous chapters. We're to grow in love with God. One needs to get to know him. That's the only way you can grow in love with him, is if you get to know him. He has revealed himself in nature, in Romans 1, but so much more throughout his whole word. We need to make daily Bible study a perpetual habit, as much a part of our lives as eating every day. You eat physically, we need to eat spiritually every day. we would do well to remember that the Bible is more than a book. It is truly God's love letter to us, revealing his love for us through the centuries, especially through the ministry of Jesus Christ, his son. We got to get into the Bible and read as a letter from him, not just looking at it as a book. It's a love letter to us. It's asking his Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts about what he wants us to glean from that every day. And it amazes me. The more often I'm in the Word, the more it speaks to me. It's like stuff I've already seen. The Holy Spirit reveals it in a whole nother light, in a whole nother way. It's talking about the living Word of God. It's constantly living and breathing. Memorizing important verses and passages is also really essential. It's as thinking of ways to apply what we learn. We can apply those to life events every day when we literally memorize parts of Scripture. Joshua 1:8 says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall read and meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything in accordance with all that is written in it. For when you will make your way prosperous, and then you will be successful." So by taking the law, the book of the law, the Bible, and putting it into our hearts, meditating on it day and night, being careful to do everything in accordance with how it is written, it'll make us prosperous and we'll be successful. Secondly, number two, follow Jesus' example of praying constantly and consistently. The Bible actually tells us that we're to pray without ceasing. In other words, we're to be in a constant relational factor with the Lord. We're to be in this constant state of communication. When we examine the life of Jesus as well as that of Daniel and others who had a passion for God, we find that prayer was a vital ingredient in their relationship with God. Even a quick reading of the Gospels in the book of Daniel reveals this. As with Bible study, prayer, sincere and open communication with God, is essential. You cannot imagine a man and a woman growing in love without communicating, right? I mean, communication is one of the top factors in how relationships fail. So prayer cannot be neglected without expecting one's love for God to grow cold. If we do not stay in a constant form of communication, growing with him, learning from him, the relationship's going to grow stale. Prayer is a part of the armor against the greatest of enemies. Talks about in Ephesians chapter 6, especially verse 18. We may have a desire to love God, but we fail in our walk if we're not praying on a constant basis. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41 says, "Keep actively watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." So by keeping our spiritual life on the peak activity, it helps us because our body, our flesh, is weak. Thirdly, number three, walk closely with him now. Daniel and his three friends chose to obey and refuse to compromise in even the food that they ate, in Daniel chapter 1. The others who were brought from Judah and Babylon as prisoners with them, they caved in, and they were never mentioned again in Scripture. When the Jewish prisoners of war had their convictions challenged in a far greater way, it was only these few who stood alone for God. You can see that in Daniel chapter 3, verse 6. And the coolest part about that, what it's saying about walk closely with him even right now, before you're in trouble, that's what they did. That's what we see with Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had already made up their mind of how they were going to stand, even though they would face consequences for their choice. They'd made up their mind. They'd chosen to walk closely with God now ahead of the trial that they would face. In order to ensure that they will be passionate for God later is why they did what they did. We need to walk with him now. We need to begin to obey him, even in the smallest tests that we face. Peter learned this the hard way, by following God at a distance, rather than identifying himself more closely with Christ before his temptation to deny him happened in Luke 22:54. God says that where a man's treasure is, there his heart will be also. As we invest our lives in God through serving him and being on the receiving end of persecution for him, our treasure will increasingly lie with him, and so will our hearts. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart, your wishes, your desires, that on which your life centers, will be also." Fourthly, eliminate the competition. Jesus said it is impossible to have two masters. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, mammon being money, possessions, fame, status, whatever is valued more than the relationship with the Lord. We are tempted to love the world, the things that please our eyes or make us feel good about ourselves or gratify our fleshly desires. 1 John 2:15-17 says, "Do not love the world of sin that opposes God and his precepts, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all of that is in the world, the lust and the sensual craving of the flesh and the lust and longing of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, pretentious confidence in one's resources or in the stability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father, but are from the world. The world is passing away, and with it its lusts, the shameful pursuit of ungodly longings. But the one who does the will of God and carries out his purposes lives forever." James says that to seek and to embrace the world and its friendships is enmity, it's hatred toward God and spiritual adultery. James 4:4 says, "You adulteresses, disloyal sinners, flirting with the world and breaking your vow to God, do you not know that being the world's friend, that is, loving the things of the world, is being God's enemy? So whoever chooses to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." We need to get rid of those things in our lives, even friends who would lead us the wrong way, things that take up our time and energy and keep us from serving God more fully, pursuit of popularity, pursuit of possessions, the pursuit of physical and emotional gratification. Those things we need to get rid of in our life. God promises that if we pursue him, he will not only provide for our needs, but he will also give us the desires as well. Matthew 6:33 says, "But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. The attitude and the character of God and all of these things will be given to you also." Psalms 37:4-5 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and the petitions of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him also, and he will do it. He will make you your righteousness, your pursuit of right standing with God, like the light, and your judgment like the shining of the noonday sun." Fifthly, number five, if straying, begin to do what helped you grow in love with God in the first place. It's not uncommon to have dips or trip ups in our relationship. Peter got tripped up in his walk in Luke 22:54. David tripped in his in 2 Samuel 11. But they got up. They pursued after God once again. John in Revelation 2:4-5 states it's not a case of losing one's love, but leaving one's love. There's kind of a debate for your or thoughts for your debate over can you lose your salvation. John said this in Revelation 2:4-5. It's not the case of losing, it's the case of leaving. Verse 4 of Revelation 2, John says, "But I have this charge against you that you have left your first love. You have lost the depth of love that you first had for me. So remember the heights from which you've fallen and repent. Change your inner self, your old way of thinking, your sinful behavior. Seek God's will and do the works you did at first when you first knew me. Otherwise, I will visit you and I will remove your lampstand, the church, its impact from its place, unless you repent." See, the cure to do the first works, those things that caused one to grow in love with God in the very first place, this would include those items that we mentioned all above. The first step in this confession is confession and receiving the forgiveness and restored fellowship that's the result of that confession. That first love is where you first found the Lord. Think back on that day. Think back the day that you surrendered your life to Christ. Remember that emotional rush, that feeling that came, that freedom that came into your spirit, the letting go of our sin, the confessing of our wrong and saying, "God, I realize I'm a sinner. God, I need you." And feeling that rush of his Holy Spirit coming and filling us and filling those voids and washing our heart out. That's your first love. That's the place that we must go back to. We've allowed things to cloud that. We've allowed things to get in the way. 1 John 1:1-9 says, "If we freely admit that we've sinned and we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, true to his own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us continually from all unrighteousness, our wrongdoing, everything not in conformity with His will and His purpose. There is no doubt that God will bless the pursuit of a passion for Him and will glorify His name through it. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 13 says, love is to be sincere and active, the real thing, without guile and hypocrisy. Hate what is evil. Detest all ungodliness. Do not tolerate wickedness. Hold on tightly to what is good. Be devoted to one another with authentic brotherly affection as members of one family. Give preference to one another in honor, never lagging behind in diligence. Aglow in the Spirit, enthusiastically serving the Lord, constantly rejoicing in hope because of our confidence in Christ. Steadfast and patient in distress, devoted to prayer, continually seeking wisdom, guidance, and strength, contributing to the needs of God's people, and pursuing the practice of hospitality. Man, what an incredible way to pull this into a close. You know, I told you I was watching TBN when this message came, and here's why. I was watching Pastor Robert Morris, one of my favorites to watch on there. I love watching him preach. He was preaching a message, and he actually reflected back to his past. He in his past, before Christ, he battled with lust. And as he surrendered to Christ, he began seeking out how to fight and win his battle. He went to a man of God whom he had deep respect for, and he asked him if he could recommend a book or a study that would help him fight his battle. I mean, that's kind of our place today, right? Surely somebody's written a book on this. We need to buy another book. We need to read another study. We need to, you know, go through another Devo based on what it is we find, right? I mean, that seems to be the way we process all things today, correct? The man of God simply turned and placed his hands on Robert's head, and he prayed. And this is what he prayed. He said, God, give Robert a passion for you that is greater than his passion for the things of this world. Pastor Robert looked at him and he said, that's it? No book? Nothing? This is exactly what we all need desperately today. We don't need another book. We don't need just another Bible study. We don't need someone to tell us what we need to do. We need to say just that. We need to pray this prayer. God, give us a passion for you that is greater than the passion for the things of this world. We need a passion for God that outweighs our desire for worldly things. This is what Robert said. He said, Pastor Robert said, passion for God drives out lust for ungodly things. That's a refrigerator powerful statement right there. Passion for God drives out lust for ungodly things. Lord, give us a passion for you above all else. What an incredible, powerful message that we need to really grip and hold on to today. We need to find our place on our knees, desiring God more than we desire anything in this world. That God, give us a passion for you, a passion that outweighs anything this world has to offer, a passion that creates in us a desire to be closer to you, not needing anything from this world, but needing everything from you. Holy Spirit, we give you the room. Oh, I love that statement. Holy Spirit, we give you the room to work in us. We give you the room to initiate in us a passion for you that's greater than a passion for anything, a lust for anything in this world today. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit, your Holy Ghost, to come inside of us and to embolden us to seek you above all things. Let that be your prayer today. Let that be a prayer that, God, give me a passion for you that's greater than any lust I have for the things of this world. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for following along with Rhonda and I. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your financial support. If you are still looking for ways to support us, all of our giving links on our website, www.livingloudoutdoors.com, pinned right at the top of our Facebook page. Shoot, you can even support us right through the podcast platform, actually. Would greatly appreciate your financial support as God continues to move this ministry forward and upward. Please continue to pray with us that we are continually seeking out the things of the Lord and that which is lost so that they may be found. Amen. Rhonda and I love you. We're praying for you. We'll talk to you again real soon.